this morning. We love the Lord. I love doing this, but I don't love doing it when Brother Colley's not here because I love his short stories. He called me this morning, and Brother Darty, you know, it's with COVID, so y'all remember him and that family. And Brother Colley, he's like me. He's getting a little old, and he don't want to drive by himself sometimes. And it gets scary driving down that road by himself. Anyway, I just wanted to say love you. I'm glad to be here this morning, and let's don't let these trials and tribulations knock us off of what we have. They're ours, folks. It's ours to claim and hold, and all we got to do is thank God for it, because that tribulation, let me tell you something, it's building us right up the statue of a perfect man right to that headstone. And we connect there as a bride, we're going to be out of here. But we're not going to get there if we don't ask for it. Because we have not because we ask not. And I'm speaking to me. Nobody here. And I don't want to see nobody left behind or go through anything I did. So anyway, before we go to his word, we're going to be reading this morning in 61. And when I read this morning, I said, wow. Right on what Brother Bob's bringing, right? What the ministry here is bringing is spot on. So anyway, as we go to the Lord this morning before we read 61, let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, what a glorious day it is to come and gather around your word and be with people of precious and like faith. Father, I call them brothers and sisters because they are Christians. And Father, I guess that those that couldn't make it through the door today, you just bless them and be with them. Whatever their hindrance is, Father God, just move it out of the way that they can come and sup with you and you with them, Lord. And bless them wherever they're at. And bless the ones that's at home watching online. Be with them and lift them up, Father God. And let your word, Father, come into our lives that when people see us walking down the street, they know we're different because we're you, Lord. And the rest of the world is blinded by a lot of things out there. And I ask, Father God, you just help us and continue sending your word to us most of all by revelation that we can be what you have created us to be, children of yours, Lord. As we go to your word now, Father, you just come on the scene and reveal your word to us. Bless that little bride around the world and the little bride here at home. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy.
I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings, Selah.
For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name.
Thou wilt prolong kings' life and his years as many generations.
He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him.
So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
You may be seated.
Let's sing that song, Something Keeps Holding Me. It's page 264. Well, we thank the Word of God. Thank God for His Word that holds us in all these storms. And, you know, there's an anchor that holds. A lot of times I was thinking about faith and how it just, you know, it's really unseen that we have faith in. But we know it's there. And if you think about an anchor, when the boats let out the anchor, all you see is it goes in the water, and you can't see beyond the storm in the water, but it's holding there. There's something that's holding that. There's a tug that you know is an unseen, and that's our Jesus Christ that holds us. And no matter what trials we go through, we're already through it by faith. Amen. Amen. The trials of this world was getting closer.
Giving me victory. Oh, he's a-
How many can testify to that this morning? Amen. Let's sing this chorus, "Let Me Walk With You, Jesus." We're going to try this. I know a lot of you have heard this older song, but I tell you, in these times, we just want to walk with our Lord. He's already in us by the new birth, but there's some times that we might not feel Him near, but He's there. He said, "I'll be with you always." Hallelujah. You found me when I was so lonely.
told Brother Joe that's an old song. We used to sing it a long, long, long time ago. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Everybody happy to be here today? Amen. You must be warm. It's hot up here. We don't have Aaron to get the temperature down a little bit. But remember him. He is he's at Brother Dutch Scott's, and most of you don't know Brother Dutch and Sister April have been sick all week. They didn't get tested for COVID, but they pretty much had all the symptoms of it. So he's recovering, and Brother Aaron is over there ministering for him. So just keep them in prayer. Brother Luis is at, yeah, turn that fan on right there, Richard, please, sir. My wife, lovely wife, bought that fan just for me. Well, she didn't buy it for y'all. She bought it for me. But remember, Brother Luis is at Brother Andre Head's today ministering for him. So let's just keep all these. They're going to be traveling back probably this afternoon. And thank you. That feels good. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord for those of you that are awake. Okay, for those of you that didn't want to be here, just say amen. Just say amen. Just make me happy, okay? Just say amen. Let's all remember Brother Paget, too. I know it's been announced, but he is having some health issues. And also, the place where their church is has been sold. So they're having to move by the 15th of March. They have not found a place yet to have church service. And with Brother JT, you know, his hand's messed up, and then he's got a couple of other issues that he's working with. So we just need to really pray that they find a place to worship over there in Jasper. It's really hard to find. I know some of you know this. It's really hard real estate wise that they found a place to a small place to worship as a church. Guy wanted $5,000 a month to rent it, so they couldn't even afford that. You know, to rent that. So let's just pray that, hey, we've seen miracles. We've seen things that look totally impossible, and all of a sudden somebody walks up and says, hey, you want to rent this building? It's vacant. You can have it for $300 a month or something. So let's just pray that they find a place to worship. Amen. Remember, Brother Bob will be speaking for us this coming Wednesday night. Brother Tim Cross will be here next weekend. I'll be in Ohio doing a wedding for the whole weekend there. So Brother Tim will be here on Sunday, regular, normal services. Also remember, when is the shower? What time? Middle or afternoon? Afternoon. All right. The afternoon will be a shower for Esther and Micah. Amen. So let's just keep that in our thoughts. March the 4th. We won't have Bible study this month, but March the 4th, we've been in kind of a tradition now, but we're going to have a prayer service that Saturday night from 7 to 8 o'clock or whenever you get finished praying, because the week after that, Brother Jack Duff's going to be here for the weekend for the youth service. So just remember that. March the 4th, instead of Bible study, we're having Bible study every other month now. And the one that's in the odd months, we're having a youth service. So it would be something to pray about, March the 4th. We've saw that prayer has really helped these services that for those of you that's been here, even though if you pray at home and pray in your own closet, we pray for the services that's coming up. We don't want to just make this where you just come to church and it's just like a little gerbil on a wheel. That's not right. This is eternal life. This is your soul. This is your life and your soul. All right? Also, remember one other thing. Just keep this in your prayer. April, Easter weekend, we will be having, like we did last year, we will be having a Good Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday service. Brother Dutch Scott's going to do Friday. Saturday will be like a fellowship meeting at 3:30. Brother Chris Long will be here, and Brother Chris Long will be here on that Sunday for Easter weekend. So just keep that in your prayers and in your hearts. Amen. All minds clear. You love the Lord? Amen. Okay, well, let's just talk to him for a minute. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, we need revelation more than anything. Lord, because revelation gives us power with you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are caught in the middle, Lord, that don't know whether to stay in the world or whether to move on with you. Father, I pray that you would prick their heart today, that you go way down deep where a man can't even go to that soul. And you know where it's at. Man can't find the soul. They might find a place that it's at, but you know exactly where that soul is. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to that soul, even the ones that are born again today. I pray that you would quicken what's in our heart already by the new birth, Father. We pray that you would just be with the ones that are sick, Sister Frieden, and the different ones, Lord, that are not with us, that are streaming in, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them, be with the little group there in Ohio, Lord, and coming up next weekend for the wedding. And I pray that you would keep them, Lord, not be so nervous, that everything will work out just fine for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this service. Be with Brother Aaron, be with Brother Luis. Give them fruit for their labor, Lord. I thank you so much that we have soldiers that can work out of this building, Lord, that can go to other places and help out the other bride, Lord, maybe the part of the bride that needs help, Lord. I pray that you would send each one of us, if we need to, Lord, to help them, Father, because we're one unit, we're one body. When they hurt, we hurt. When we hurt, they hurt. I pray that you'd be with us now and furthermore in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, remember to keep Brother Samuel Reyes in prayer. It's okay, Brother Joe. He talks to Brother Samuel, and I called him the other day, and he's been put out of his church up there in Gainesville. The Hispanic church, somebody's come in and took over, and we know who it is, but I'm not. It's just the devil. So Brother Samuel's looking for a place to have church service. He's looking for a building in Gainesville around here somewhere. So keep him in prayer more than anything, and thank God Brother Dale owned this building for a long time and give it to the church, and we ain't got to worry about none of that outside stuff. Okay, that's a lot of wisdom, and I appreciate that. Amen. And Sister Rebecca gave me this to preach over today, and we pray that whatever that needs to go to, that the need will be met. All right, so here we go. Son of Man, part 89. And we're going to, I told Brother Bob, I said, he's not doing Sunday school no more. Because we're going to talk on redemption today. As a little side note. All right. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God knew we needed both of us to say something about it today. And the Word was made flesh. Bob primed you. So now you really ought to be able to listen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, look, believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. That's a promise. If you're my disciple, you shall know the truth, and that truth will not bind you. It will make you free. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. And we're going to try today to get to temperance. 2 Peter 1 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. When we get into patience, we're going to be there for a little while, so have patience. Everybody, have some patience, okay? Tribulation worketh what? Patience. So if you'll pull the chart up, we're going to, this morning I was thinking about something last night and this morning, that we've covered pretty much all we need to cover, but there's some side notes that we'd like to look at. As Brother Bob was talking about Revelation, I want to talk a little bit about redemption before we start up the Statue of Perfect Man just one more time. Everybody with me? All right, one more time. I want to talk about it in the form of the pawn shop. Because if we don't get this out of the pawn shop, then you're not born again. You cannot have any of these virtues, Holy Ghost virtues, without having Holy Ghost inside your soul. All right? And then we want to also look that if you get out of the pawn shop, now you can get yourself back in over here, but you can't get yourself back in here. I'll read you the quotes in just a minute. I know it's foreign to some, but we're going to talk about the soul today, because that is where I said last Sunday, add to your new birth. You can only add to your new birth if you got it. Right. If you don't have it, you can't add to it. Right. All right, so you got to get to it first. But there was a problem, and it's the plan of redemption. And I was thinking yesterday, you know, you look at a plan. We all make plans. We have plans to do this and plans to do that, and they change. When God makes a plan, cannot change. Amen. That's why I said the other day, if God ever loved you in the beginning, he can't not love you through your journey. Right, right. You may fall out of love with him, but he's never going to fall out of love for you. Amen. All right, because he can't change his mind and say, oh, no, I made a mistake. I Brother George Blaylock, bless his heart, I just made a mistake. No, God don't make a mistake. He brings you right here, and he gets you, and he puts it right in your face and said, hey, listen, I've been with you on this whole journey. I'm going to show you by revelation where you're at in the body of Christ. Isn't that what we're all looking for? We're looking for adoption. We're looking for what we can do to help somebody else. We're not here to bash people. Brother Brown said, what is it? It's spirits we fight. Paul said, it's spirits we fight. Amen? Not principalities and powers. It's spirit where? In that soul and in that spirit realm is where we have our problem. My problem's not the White House. Your problem's not the White House. Your problem's in your house. Me too. My problem's in my house, your problem's in your house. What did Brother Brown tell us? He said, you can't blame the pastor if you don't make it. Why? That takes a lot off of me, but you know what? Without a plan, Brother Brown said God had a plan and a purpose. Now, what's the plan? You sit down and you draw out a plan. God sat down and drew out a plan, but he drew out a plan that didn't need an eraser. Right. When he drew it down, he went, this is the way it is. Yep. And this is the best way you'll ever get here. And it's the best way, every trial, every tribulation that you go through, God knew that it's the best way to get you where you're supposed to be. Everybody with me? So we're going to get into that with a little bit of patience, because what's the first thing Brother Brown said? Have patience with. Not your neighbor, not your pastor, not your brother. He said have patience with God. Amen. That he'll do what he said he would do. Right. Now that we don't. Because what the problem is right here we're going to talk about it. Brother Brown, in 1953, we're going to take a little side trip for just a minute, but I think it's important that we see why we're struggling and why do we need to struggle and fight. What are we going to need miracles in the millennium when we're supernatural beings? How are we going to need these? Now, the Bible says now are we the sons of God. Not now is a present tense. Now are we the sons. Not we will be. We are now. We are this morning. We are this very hour. Now are we the sons of God. What? Seated together. As I said before, when Paul writes that sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he says resurrected sitting in heavenly places. That's where the people got that the resurrection was over with. This is a spiritual resurrection, not a natural resurrection. All right, this is a spiritual resurrection that what happens is, now watch, right this very minute, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know every person sitting in here today, if you're born again, your soul is eternal. Your soul is God. Your soul only thinks God. Your soul only knows God. Your soul is God. What our problem is, it's so bound by that second man. Not your flesh. Your flesh just holds all your guts and everything together. But that second man in the spirit realm is our problem. And we're going to get to that. Because remember, Brother Bam, in two places, he said Satan put you in the pawn shop. But then he also said Adam went and put you in the pawn shop. Because right. Remember, folks, we bash Eve pretty bad. But listen, Eve didn't put us in the pawn shop. Right. Adam put us in the pawn shop. Adam's the one that took on, as the second Adam would take on our sin, he took on Eve's sin. Right. Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. Every man by one spirit will all baptize into one body, become the members of this body by the Holy Ghost baptism. That's right here. Not here, here. Now we're seated together in heavenly places, free from judgment. We can never go to the judgment. We were yesterday, and I'm not bashing the brother. He only knew what he knew. At Jonas and Sophia's archery shoot, they had a little brother stand up, and he was making his point. His whole point was we all got to go to judgment. We all got to go to judgment. We all got to go to judgment. We got to do good down here, but we all got to go to judgment. No, we don't. No, we don't. That's what I mean. One of the greatest doctrines I know of is that I ain't got to go to judgment.
Right.
No time do I have to go to judgment. I don't want to be Catholic where I get halfway in hell, purgatory, and I got to be prayed out. Well, I'm sorry, it's called paid out.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Pay no venias, the more you got, the more you get out. No, I want it to be on this right here that a man came and had the goods, as Brother Tom Faubus used to say, had the goods to get me out of the pawn shop. Now, what's our problem is? We can accept whether to go out or we can turn around and walk right back in the pawn shop. I'll read it right here in just a second. You can never go to judgment. How can you be judged twice? God judged Jesus Christ and he put our judgment upon Christ. I want somebody to be a little happy today, if you don't mind. I'm going to, not a little teaching, I'm going to do a little preaching. But Christ paid our judgment at Calvary. If we're in Christ, we're secured in Christ. Listen, that soul, if you're born again, it does not have bad days and good days. It has all good days. That spirit realm, though, is like a roller coaster. Like the scream machine at Six Flags. You scream on the way down, you scream on the way up. And you scream when you're done. If you've never been on a scream machine, you ought to try it one time. And realize that's your life in the spirit realm. All right? How do we get into Christ? By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. It's what we've been talking about, the new birth. We're into the body of Jesus Christ, and while we're in there, look, we've accepted his punishment in our stead. We've accepted his punishment in our stead. He, knowing no sin, yet was made sin for us. And then he bore our sickness. He bore our sin. And we came into him and we are free from these judgments. Come on, somebody. That's for you. And listen, that's for Monday, too. Every day that ends in Y. Somebody asked me one time, a long time ago, said, how many days does your brother play golf? I said, every day that ends in Y, except on Sunday. So it's every day. God, look, God cannot justly judge me or you the second time. God cannot justly judge me or you the second time if he's already accepted us in Christ Jesus and punished his own son for us. How can he punish us then when he's already had Christ pay the price? If I go down to the pawn shop, I've got something. I'm in some trouble, so what am I going to do? I'm going to put that in the pawn shop. Right? And they're going to let me borrow some money off of that. But they're going to give me a receipt. They're going to give me a receipt. You keep one, the person gets a receipt. Everybody with me? If you've never been to a pawn shop, you'll learn something today. I was in one time. Don't want to go back. Even Brother Bram said, I don't like pawn shops. That's another quote for another day. If I go down to the pawn shop and I've got something, that's just like the human life. The devil put us in the pawn shop. So that's you. That's your soul. That's right. Devil put us in the pawn shop because of transgression, which basically we did ourselves. But if you've got something pawned and you go down and get that out, you hand that receipt and you get that out. I'm not in the pawn shop anymore. I have been redeemed, or the ransom has been paid for my soul. Now, the problem is we've got a spirit realm. And we go and we throw it right back in the pawn shop. Spirit realm now. Spirit realm. Soul can't be judged anymore, but we can be judged in our spirit realm. That's why there is a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. That's why the denominational world says we all got to go to judgment. Because the Bible says we all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? But that's not the major judgment. That's not white throne judgment. We're going to be judged by what? We're going to be judged by how much we use or not use these virtues. That's why these virtues are very important. You say, Brother Wade, why do I have to struggle? Because if you say I'm born again, do you want to have a miserable life? If you don't want to have a miserable life, then you start doing these things right here. But now listen, that's not going to make everything go away. Jesus was every one of these, and they hated him. They hung him on a cross because he was God. Remember? They said, we don't hate you because of the miracles. We don't hate you because of signs and wonders. We hate you because you're telling us you're God in human flesh. They will hate you because you tell them you are God in human flesh. As we read the first scripture we read. But if you got something pawned and you go down and get that out of the pawn, you get a receipt for it, you have a right to take it out. Amen. So there's no need of trying to go down. Look, if I had my watch in pawn and you went down and took it out for me, there's no need of me for going down there paying it again. I can't pay it again because it's already been paid. Oh, when I think of that, something on the inside of me under this fifth rib on the left side, he's talking about his heart, leaps higher than the skies. Because I know the devil had me in the pawn shop one time because of sin and transgression. But Jesus Christ took me out of the pawn shop and redeemed me back to God. Listen, God could not go into that pawn shop and get you out. Oh, be quiet. Jesus Christ had to go in the pawn shop and get you out. You say, oh, it's the same person. Yes, it is the same person, but it's another form. It's another form. Because remember, the right of redemption is that you got to be a kinsman. So the kinsman became, the God became human flesh to be our kinfolk. Then he walked in the pawn shop. He said, I got a right now because that's flesh in that pawn shop. I am flesh, but I paid the price for that. Go, Jesus. Come on. I paid the price for that. It's mine. And here we go. I don't know if I want to accept that or not. All you got to do is accept he did it. Just accept he did it. Because I know the devil had me in the pawn shop one time because of sin and transgression. But Jesus Christ took me out of the pawn shop and redeemed me back to God. He didn't just redeem you back to being a human. You're a human already. He redeemed you back to God Almighty. He redeemed you back to Elohim. Somebody, one of these days, y'all might get excited about some of this, but I'm getting more excited about just the plan of redemption. Amen. Just a simple plan of redemption. Because if you don't get it, you forget about going up through there. But Jesus took me out of the pawn shop and redeemed me back to God. That makes me his son this morning. And it does not yet appear what I shall be in the final end. But I know I'll have a body like his own glorious body. For I shall see him as he is, free from sickness, free from sin. So your soul is out of the pawn shop. Your soul has been redeemed. There's no way it can go back in and pay that debt the second time. Already, why would I want to go back and pay three or four times for something that I had to put in the pawn shop? Let God do it for you. Some of y'all that are struggling, let God do it for you. Let God say, God, I'm in a pawn shop. Even say, God, I know I'm redeemed, but God, I'm still in a pawn shop because I can't get over this virtue and get this knowledge. Because you know what? There's a flip side to all this. To have patience, you got to be angry first. To have virtue, you got to be powerless first. Then God gives you virtue. You got to have the knowledge of the world. Remember, tree of knowledge of good and evil is your first knowledge. Then you start eating off the tree of life when you get born again. So the redemptive act is not so hard to do. Just accept that he took you out of that pawn shop and put you in his shop. Just accept that. And then we can go on. My soul, praise God, my soul. And then like Brother Bob was talking about Revelation. We're going to see in just a few minutes. We'll get to it. That Revelation is something that's previously not seen. It's there though. Like Brother Bob said about the statue. Statue's underneath that wrap or that tarp. But you really can't tell what it is. It could be a monkey. It could be an animal. It could be a bird. It could be something sitting on a log, you know, kind of tall like this. And something sitting on the top. But when it's pulled off, you see it's a human. You see what's been built. God saw, praise God, he saw you built. He saw you already made. He's just just now he's beginning to pull the wraps off so that you and I can see the pull is what's going to take us out of here. We're going to be shown to God one more time. God's going to pull the veil off of the world's eyes and let them see me and you, the real God, the real place where God dwells. Not in a house. Not in a church. In you. God chose by the right of redemption to dwell in you. Because he became you. That you might what? Become like him? No. Become him. The puzzle is pieces are fit back together. You're out of the pawn shop. Praise God. When you get out of that pawn shop, there's no way there's anything being held against you. No way. Nothing is held against you. We got to start realizing that it's coming. No, it's not coming. It's already here. And when you get a true revelation, the things that you think I have to do will become things I want to do. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to... Why? The old me's gone. The real me has been redeemed. Let me... I don't have this. I just pulled this up real quick. Let me read this and then we'll continue on. Questions and Answers, 1964. Brother Barham said, now could a righteous judge judge a man twice? Remember, that's even in the law of the land. You can't, it's called double jeopardy. For those of you that know anything about the law, you can't be tried for a murder and be acquitted or be found not guilty. And then they call you back in 2 weeks later and say, we're going to try you for that again. No, it's called double jeopardy. You can't do that. Even the law of the land proves that God done it one time and that's it. How could a righteous judge judge a man twice for anything if the penalty's already been paid? If I was in the pawn shop and you came by and said, I'm going to redeem him, and you went in and paid the price for my redemption, that's my penalty of being in the pawn shop. You pay my redemption, then how can the pawnbroker, the devil, claim you again? That's what we got to realize when it comes to this guy. Unless I sold out again. There you are. When I rejected the fullness of the word, I go right back in the pawn shop. Fullness of the word. I go right back in the pawn shop again. Then fight my way out. If I can, he said. But he redeemed me. I hope that, I just got so many here I want to get, in other words, he's trying to get to the people. That the right of redemption has been paid. So let's add to that. Let's add to your new birth. Let's add to what I just... Let's add to that. You're out. You're free. You're out of the pawn shop. You never have to go back in unless you want to go back in. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you can go back in and not go up the statue of perfect man. Can't lose your salvation. Can't lose your soul. But now we're talking about a spirit realm. We're talking about the middle guy. The spirit realm, and we'll look at that this afternoon. I think I got a couple of quotes on that if I get to them. That spirit realm is like the soul, but it's not exactly, because remember, anointed ones at the end time can be black in their soul, but their spirit be anointed by this Holy Ghost I'm talking about. But what they did was they didn't come out of the pawn shop. They just got washed up a little bit and said, I'm just fine right here. I'm good. They didn't accept what you and I have accepted if you're born again. They didn't accept that. So they stayed in there. But remember, they stayed bound. You and I, when we come out, we're free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Add to your new birth. Or minister. That word add means minister. Minister nourishment. What are we getting today? We're getting nourishment. Somebody's telling you you're free. Somebody's telling you you don't have to go back in the pawn shop. You don't have to accept that box of snakes. But what do? We do anyway. We're trying our best, though, to shave all that off to where we can have power or virtue with God. We can have the knowledge. Listen, if you don't have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of this world is foolishness to the knowledge of God. Foolishness. That's why when the very knowledge of God stood on the earth, Jesus, stood on earth and he told them exactly how he was going to come. He told them exactly, as Brother Bob was talking about the Torah and all the different Talmud and all that. They studied that and studied it. They loved Hosea, Jeremiah. They all spoke. Jesus looked at them. He said, "Did everyone speak of me? Why are you killing me?" They said, "Well, you didn't come the way we thought you ought to come." Am I right? He came exactly. He fulfilled the Old Testament. So in the day the Son of Man will be revealed, you and I are going to fulfill the word so much they're going to hate us. Our own ranks are going to hate us. I hate to say that, but that's exactly where's the most persecution come from? Inside. Judas was sitting right beside Jesus on the night he was betrayed. Nobody knew it but one guy, and that was the Son of Man. He had enough discernment to know what Judas was. To supply, furnish, to be supplied. In other words, add to, assisted. And why has this got to happen? Why is there a restoration got to come? Because we're in the pawn shop. Right. That's not where we were supposed to be. We were supposed to be free. Adam and Eve were supposed to have children by the spoken word of God. We were to multiply and replenish this earth. Not by sex. We were supposed to not ever have a headache. Not ever have a disease. Not ever have a bad day. It's laying right inside you today, though. What do you mean? Some kind of a story or history, as Brother Bob said. You know, it's something, I think Brother Donnie was talking about this morning. It's something way out yonder. What have I told y'all? We're a bunch of tunas. Jesus is way out yonder. And we're over here just struggling. No, he's right here. Amen. He's the same person. I had a brother ask a question online. I'm going to cover it real quick. But he said, "Sorry, I meant to say John 17:25. He said, "Are you saying this is not another being?" Because I said that when Genesis 1:26, he was talking. He couldn't be talking to another person. Now, I know Brother Brown verbatim quoted that he was talking to another being. Now, look, if you look the word being up, that means person. So he's not talking to another person. If he is, he's talking to the devil. That's the only two people that was there when he was talking. But you and I were inside of him. And by him knowing that, he could talk directly to me and you, but he's not talking to another person. He's talking to another form of himself. Amen. That's what you and I are, another form of himself. Not another person. Another form. So you can't be a being. And when I'm not trying to correct Brother Brown, but that word being means person. He wasn't saying that. He was talking to an Enmorphe. He's talking to a God that moved over in another form so that we could understand that the Son of God had unlimited power. And now he's coming down and he's going to be in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Elohim became flesh, not another person. That's denominationalism. That's where they get three gods. That's where they get the Trinitarian idea. That is three persons in the Godhead. Can't be. Can't be a separate being unless he's talking to the devil. Everybody with me on that? So when you say being, you have to be careful. But when, a being is another person, but it was not another person God was talking to. Person is a personality unless it's the devil. And he's not telling the devil, "Let us make man in our own image." The devil didn't have a part of that. Actually, you know what? He hated that day that happened. And he's been hating it for thousands and millions of years. He hated the day God said something and some form came out of him that was him. And Satan couldn't understand. Satan's like, "Where'd he come from?" Hold on a minute. I'm not done yet. Let there be. I got to start making. Devil, you go over yonder. I got to start making stuff. Because that was a creator. The creator God. But all that got lost by what? Adam put us in a pawn shop. "I will restore to you," though, "to you, whatever Adam lost in the garden, I'm going to restore it back. And it's got to be in an entire people." Because only this time it's the true revelation of the Son of Man. If you want, we'll get into that, though. Some may not understand that. But the Son of Man was the Word made flesh. Son of Man's got to be the Word made flesh in me and you. You and I have to become the Son of Man, where what we speak is what God said. Can't do that. Well, you know, go somewhere else. you become an unbeliever. I believe what God said. And I'm waiting on a manifestation of it. You say, well, you're waiting? See it right here? Patience. To wait on, who did I say? God. That he'll do what he said he would do. That's the problem with Eve. She couldn't wait on God to get his plan fulfilled. She had to help him. That's the way, listen, that same spirit is in the church today. Remember Brother Branham? He was discerning that brother walking through the house. He went to the brother and said, brother, said, you committing adultery on your wife? He said, no, Brother Branham. And then the angel, remember Brother Branham said, the angel took him over to the side and said, no, he's messing with organized religion. That denominational idea is a whore system to God. Just like Eve was, it's a whore system to God, and it can't be brought back. This is restoring me and you. Because we're able to be restored. We're able for somebody to get us out of the pawn shop. And we accept that. And we got to start believing that. Because he said, I will restore to you the years the locusts eat all the way down. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord that hath dealt what? Wondrously with you. And my people shall never. Listen, if you're ashamed of this message, if you're ashamed of this gospel, you need a new birth. You need a new birth. I kind of was thinking about this the other day, and I believe the Lord wanted me to put this in here. Do you remember the dream or the vision Brother Brown had about the bride coming into preview? If not, I'm going to read it to you. Everybody all right with this? But this is part of you. This is the vision that reveals to me where I am. I'm the bride. I'm not a church. I'm the bride. And the bride has to come into preview twice. The church only comes into preview one time. And remember, she was naked. She was twisting. She was rock and roll. That was the churches out there. I'm telling you what Brother Brown said. I'm not making it up. Then I have to watch her. Watch. She'll get out of step with that word if I don't watch. Remember, the second bride, the second preview, the women in the back got out of step. He said, get back in line. Now look, it didn't make her church. She was still bride. She just got out of step. She'll get out of step with that word if I don't watch. And when she's passing by, if she gets by, maybe it'll be my time when I'm over, see, when I'm finished or whatever it is. What? They were getting back, trying their best, and was getting back, get in line. Because what happened? Now, the first preview of the bride was beautiful. Everything was in order. First church ages, there was no denominational idea. There was no eternal hell. There was no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. It was a pure bride. But couldn't be complete without the Omega Bride. That's the two previews. What happened in between that? A church was born. Prostitutes came out of the mother whore. Sorry, strong words, but that's what the prophet said. So what? They were getting back, trying their best. So which one was getting out of line? The second group. First group was not. They went on off. Brother Brown said, went on off into heaven. He said, now the church come into view, the naked girls and all that. They fell off and was wailing and screaming and all that. He said he was like, oh, well, Lord, that's my American church. And remember, the angel said, the bride will come into preview one more time. Praise God. Amen. That's me and you. I don't care if he said he got out of line, because he told us to get back in line. And they was looking out somewhere else, look, watching about that church that just went into chaos. So what were they doing? They were marching, and they were looking at the church. Remember, John admired the church. It was beautiful. But when she fell off into, you read the whole thing, chaos. But the front ones, never. The back ones, just two or three of them, was kind of stepping out a little bit to the right-hand side. Not staying balanced, stepping off to the right-hand side. And looked like was trying to get back in line as they went by. They was just past me, and far as here to the wall past me, and I was standing there. Now, I just seen it all move out and leave. But you notice, the church only comes into view one time. Each nation, the church, but the bride comes into view twice. See what it is, or what it was? Now, not knowing it, but look at it with my message this morning, not knowing that, see? The seed fell in the ground at Nicaea. So the first bride was what? First three church ages. Then what came along? Nicaea. The church. Bow with me? The church happened. Denomination happened. Man's ideas happened. And then God sent a prophet. To say, now I don't call you church, I call you bride. I brought you out of that group that was naked, blind, wretched, miserable, and don't know it. God, praise God, what a plan. Amen. And that you're a part of it.
Amen.
The seed fell in the ground at Nicaea. That was the original seed. That wasn't false seed, that was the original seed. And she's come through the process of these denominations, which only comes in existence once. But the bride returns back again in the last day. I will restore. See, the masterpiece is brought up. That's the reason she was in view, reviewed the second time. Watch, she was reviewed the first time. Then she was reviewed the second time. And she was perfectly the second time like she was the first time. Oh, God, have mercy. Hurry, hurry, life. Get in the grain right quick. Now watch. So if you look at the pyramid, you've got a preview of the bride. These three ages right here. You've got a preview of the bride walking just perfect, everything right. Then you've got Nicaea happens right here, the dark ages. Not that they're not bride, it's just they were not complete. They had their ideas and God winked at some of their ignorance. Amen? Everybody with me? But to get right here, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we're looking at, there had to come a second preview. There had to come a second part. And then we kind of got out of line a little bit. Because you know what? Just like some of us, we don't do everything God tells us to do. I'm sorry, I don't do everything God tells us to do. If y'all do, that's okay. Pray for me. Well, some of you, when you say that, they look at you like, well, that happened to you? Yeah, it happens to me. I'm a human being. Watch this. Ow! I have two kids. I'm human. Josh is in the back. All others never appeared no more. Look, they never appeared. So when God was done with them, he was done with them. They went out never to come back again. But the bride came back. Because she was Alpha and Omega. God, the great sculptor, has made him a masterpiece, for it is a piece of his first masterpiece. In other words, he got us out of the pawn shop because we were a part of him before the foundation of the world. We just got caught, remember, between Satan and Eve. Adam took on her sin, so we got put in the pawn shop. We didn't come the way God wanted us to come. But thank God. Restoration of the bride tree, real quick. We may not get too far, but that's okay. I wanted us to make sure we see this. You got to know, not think, and not hope. Hope is good, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, so you hope for it.
Right.
Then there's a journey that's called faith. Then there's a reality.
Amen.
I do not need faith, Brother George, to get to church today. I'm standing here. Now, I had to have faith to get in the car. Some of y'all that drive Fords. You had to have more faith. Pickup trucks, basically. Boyd's going. But you had to have faith that your wife was going to get up early. That you know, your kids was going to all get together at the same time. Do you get dressed and all ready before your mama does? Nope, didn't think so. Hey, look, when a kid looks at you and goes, I didn't pick on your sister, okay? I'm picking on you. I bet you she gets ready before you do. Come on now, you're left-handed. You got to be able to do something more better than she can. But you know what? God looks at us the same way. He says, look, come on, get ready. We got to go. Quit messing around. Because here we are here. That God is here to do. Exceeding and abundantly. Whatever we ask Him for. We need to ask Him for what? Revelation, Brother Brown said. Sure we're sick. Sure we need financial. Sure we need a new job. Brother Brown said, pray for revelation more than anything. Why? Because what will revelation do? It'll show you who you are. It'll show you where you're at. It'll show you your issues. It'll show you your problems. And it'll do one thing for sure. If it's a true revelation, it'll show you how to get rid of them. It won't be a thought. It won't be a hope anymore. It won't even be faith anymore. It'll be a reality. I'm going to have faith that my body's going to be changed. But one day, praise God, it will be changed and I'll not need faith anymore. We'll not need faith in a millennium. What do you need faith for when you're perfect? But we had four messengers kill that tree in between that dark age time. So if four death messengers come, and they suck the life out of that tree. All the way down to the roots. For God said, I will restore. He's going to restore it. By four death messengers killed it. Four life messengers will restore it. Not three. Four is the number of man. We know sometimes it's a bad number, but four is the number of restoration. That's what it is right here. By four death messengers killed it, then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. That was the prophet's message. Brought them out of Pentecost. Now, if Pentecost stayed where they were at, they stayed in their own little pawn shop. Christ came through a little man to say, I can get you out. Not Brother Branham. I, Jesus Christ, can show you the Word so that you can get out of that pawn shop. Speaking in tongues is not the total evidence. It's good. Restoration of the gifts are good. But getting out of that pawn shop is way better than having gifts, because gifts and callings are without repentance. You can have all the gifts in the world and still be in the pawn shop. But once you come out of that pawn shop, if Jesus Christ brings you out, you're born again. Right there. Your soul is redeemed. That's what I want you to see. But as your soul is redeemed through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got to put the Word in it. You can't just, well, I'm born again, I don't have to go to church anymore. Where'd you get that at? I'm like a preacher said one time, what most of y'all ought to do is, is you ought to look on your calendar and think today's Monday. Because most people get healed on Monday. I can't come to church, I got a headache. I can't come to church, I got a toe ache. I can't come to church, I got too much to do. And then Monday, you spend all day at Walmart. Healed. Completely. Completely healed. No, you're completely lost. If that's what you do, you're completely lost. You need to realize that's the devil doing that to you. That's not God. God will never keep you out of church. Ever. You got to fight this thing. Fight your way in here. Fight your way in here, and I promise you it'll be better as you go out that door. What was the fourth? The Word. And I believe that's what we're under now with the preaching of Brother Branham and then the preaching of what Brother Dale's been preaching. It's a progressive Word. It's being progressed. We're being progressive. Some, I'm sorry, think about the other day, all the people that had left the church, and I pray for them. I don't not like them. I mean, I wish the church was packed, and we had to find another building with all the people that's left, and they're wandering out in the world. They will, if you believe. You become that Word. And didn't the Word tell you, you ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. You ask. You say to this mountain, be moved. All right, the Word. There were four great prophets. Well, I'll go a little bit further. Is that okay? It's just 11:30. One of them, Martin Luther, he began to shine a little light. There was a little lie, just a very small strength of justification. Along came Wesley, stronger, sanctification. After Wesley come the stronger than him, Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in another great prophet. We've been taught that. Remember, the prophet to Pentecost was not Brother Branham. Amen? Amen. It was the Holy Ghost himself. That's what Brother Branham said. Because if not, you'd make Brother Branham a messenger to the Pentecostal people. Not. The Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost, 1906, to restore the gifts. Then they cabbage down and said, nope, this is it, we're done. Latter rain, former rain, we're gone, we're out of here. This is the great revival. Do you hear about that revival that's going on in Ashbury, Kentucky? Ashbury College? It's been going for days. We can't get y'all to come one day. It's been going days, weeks. I'm talking 24 hours. There's somebody in that service praying, worshiping God. It's been going on for 5, 6, 7 days solid. But you know what? Without the true word of God, sure God can save them. But they ain't a bride won if they ain't got the Holy Ghost. It's just emotion. It's just sensation. It's just we're having a revival. That's why I want us to have a word revival. The word revival will start in the soul. Teach us what to do and it'll work its way out. Then if we want to shout, that's great. If we want to run, that's great. If we want to speak in tongues, that's great. I pray that we speak in tongues. I pray that something comes into this church of prophecy to stand up and say, hey, you're not living right. Or, hey, you need to go do this. Or, hey, you need to go do that. It scares us to death. We'd all be halfway out the building before they jumped up and said stuff. Because all the junk in our life, me included. Well, get quiet. That's okay. You better pay attention. One day God's going to bring something. I promise you, we're going to get cleaned up. We're going to get cleaned up because even the Bible says the congregation of the righteous, there will be no one, no sinner sitting in this congregation. But in the last days of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. And the evening light is to come forth to restore and bring back, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of God. Fourth light. Four killers took it. Four messengers destroyed it. Four messengers of death took it away. What? In dogma. Creed. Non-word. And then Brother Brown saying, in non-word, there's nothing to quicken. If you're sitting here today with non-word, nothing is quickening today. It's just going right over your head. Unless you pull it down and say, hey, that's for me. Hey, that's for me. Four messengers of righteousness restored her back again. Prophesy, son of man, isn't what we're coming to, son of man? Can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss it. Prophecy. Can these bones live? What's the fourth stage that's coming forth of that church? That's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones. Remember, the dry bones came together, but they just stood there without number four. What was number four? Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Oh breath of God, now breathe. What? Not the Holy Ghost. You're dead without the Holy Ghost. You are a bunch of dry bones standing up. You're dead without it. But the life only comes, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same sign. Listen, we are living in that light now. Amen. It's not coming, it's here. Amen. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaves? What? Pentecost. What does the leaves do when the wind blows? But you know what? If it's dead, you ever seen a dead tree blow? No, it just does this. Then it breaks off. But when you got life, y'all ought to try that sometime. Maybe I'll give you a little bit of life. Rejoicing. I don't want us to be a bunch of Pentecostal people, but I want you to be a little more joyful than you are now. You've got eternal life in your soul. And I hope you're listening to the word of God now. It ought to make you happy. I ought to put them two votes together, two plug-ins. What? The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign, that Christ has finally, after justification, been planted. Sanctification been planted. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Organizations died out. And Christ has again centered himself. Look, like the cap of the pyramid. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the coming of the cap. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed. What are we doing today? We're being honed. All the stuff we don't need should be shaved off. So that it can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. Who went away? The Son of God didn't go away. The Son of Man went away. God in human flesh went away so that he can send back the Son of God in the Holy Ghost to be with the people. Number three, justification, sanctification, Son of God. Fourth is the Son of Man. The Word made flesh is the Son of Man. I just read that to you in John 1:1. Same kind of ministry he had when he went away. When he went away, was there a doctrine of three gods? When he went away, was there a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism? When he went away, was there a Baptist idea? No! It was a pure word. But it was the infancy of it. It was the beginning of it. You had to have an Alpha and Omega, according to the Bible, the beginning and the end. Watch this. Same kind of ministry he had when he went away, that when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in the rapture where the justified, sanctified, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. Whether you go or not, whether I go or not, this is going to be made manifest. The tree of life is growing again. Where? Out in the field? No, in you. Remember, I read you the scripture. She is a tree of life. She is the bride. Is the tree of life. That's the only tree of life. I know y'all walk out in the world and rub shoulders with them. So do I. I feel sorry for them. They have no idea what's coming. They look toward government. They look toward a denomination. The Methodist Church is getting ready to split. There may be some churches empty that we could buy. Real cheap. But no, the Methodist Church is fixing to split wide open. They won't allow prostitutes. They won't allow prostitutes. They won't allow gays. Some won't, some will. So they're going to split. Neighbor, I was talking to a neighbor the other day, and I said, what are you going to do, Jerry? He said, I might just start my own church. I thought, you might could try coming to your neighbor's church and see what's going on over here. But you know what? We got the same thing in the message, folks. I mean, we can say, well, we're up here and we got all this clean. No, we got all kind of denominations in the church too, in the bride. Well, not in the bride, but in the so-called. We call them the mixed multitude. But listen, Brother Brown said there's brides, brides, churches, brides, churches. He makes a big long, he said, but there's going to come one. There's going to come one. One people, one group that's going to take this message and live it. Not talk it. Live it. And going to manifest. Watch this right here. Then we'll close. I didn't even get to knowledge. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time? This time right now. Where were there ever a time in history that manifests the time to deliver all nature? Nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Why, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, all the Old Testament on down here, there couldn't have been manifestation. See, and what Brother Brown's saying is, let me interpolate. They were in the pawn shop and they couldn't get out because the blood of bulls and goats just covered them while they were in there. Didn't save a person. Holy Ghost filled person in the Old Testament. It just capoed or covered it so that God couldn't see it. But you and I come to a place where we're taken out of the pawn shop. And listen, God's able to use this thing now. It's not inside and locked up behind the devil's door. You can get out here where God can use this thing. Y'all be like an old chainsaw. You look in the pawn shop and you see chainsaws. I don't know why people, they must not like to work. They put their chainsaws up for pawn. I hope the devil watches that and the Lord goes and gets that chainsaw. And that's you. And I hope he comes out and he uses it. As Brother Ernie Villanueva said, we're not just going to peck on this devil. He said, hack him. Went through all that. I want to take a chainsaw with double chains on it and cut that sucker to pieces. You say, oh, you just, aren't you tired of the devil beating on you? Aren't you just really tired of the devil just beating on you? Living in your house? Well, guess what? There's a provision if you do what God said. The problem is we don't. Look, it had to wait till this time. Now, all things have been brought coming, shaped into a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into these men. What? These fivefold ministry, not one tape church. The Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ that they'll join him and the church together. I got to cover this because Bob covered it while it's fresh in y'all's mind. I'm going to scroll through here. Close your eyes if this makes you sick. See how far down it was? Right here. Revelation. Because Brother Brown said, look, there's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing of such prevailing power. Not just up power one day and down the next. Prevailing power means all the time. That means working all the time in your life. There's nothing such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word. And what does that word revelation mean? The act or process of disclosing something previously secret or obscure. Especially, look, something true. So we know God's true. We know He's the truth. We know He's the Word. So if there's anything covered by Him, when we uncover it, it's got to be truth. It can't be a copy. Amen. We see a lot of copies of Moses sitting on that throne with a little piece off of his knee, but there's one original over there somewhere in the Louvre or wherever it is over in France. Somebody's got it over there. Amen. There's an original. But there's a bunch of little bitty ones. You see them all over the place. We're not that. We're off the original. That's why He had to smite that. He smote us. A piece of Himself is a piece of you. The active process of disclosing something previously secret or obscure, especially something true. A fact disclosed or revealed, especially in a dramatic, I like that, or a surprising way. Whoa! Never seen that before. Listen to this right here. Musicians, come on, let's stand. God's disclosure of His own what? Nature. Listen, when you get a revelation, it's not some man's idea. It's a revelation of God's nature. God's wanting you to see Him. That's why the statue of perfect man is so important. It is Him being made manifest or made known in a bride. This never been before since the beginning of time. God's disclosure of His own nature and His purpose for mankind. The plan. Especially through the words of human, not angels. Did it say angels? No, it says human intermediaries. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, Sunday school teachers. Something in which such a divine disclosure is contained, such as in the Bible. Amen? So there's no prevailing power. The prevailing overcoming church is built on revelation. So we can expect God to reveal His truth to us. However, you actually don't need a revelation on water baptism. It's right there staring you in the face. Wow. I bet you them people sitting in that auditorium that day that were Trinitarians thought, man, this guy's crazy. That's why they hated him. That's why he kept hating him. That's why they kept hating Jesus. He was wonderful. Oh, Jesus had 50,000 people, 25,000 people. Right? When He died, there was one. Him was the only person left. Brother Branham, when he started preaching, I was scrolling through YouTube the other day, and it's some, I can't remember the minister's name, David Roth. Anyway, he's a commentator. You know, he brings people in. Well, he brought this guy in, young kid. I wanted to smack him in the face. Brought this young whippersnapper in, and he talked about William Branham. No greater gift. The whole healing movement was by this William Marion Branham. And I mean, I thought, man, this guy's got to be a message preacher. He got right to the end. You know what he said? He said, but he was probably about the worst Bible teacher I've ever heard. I thought, dude, you're totally deceived. Why would God? That's why I want to ask these people that's run away from the message. Brother Brown didn't preach. He wasn't a flash in the pan. He wasn't a 30-minute John the Baptist 6 months and he's gone. He preached 30 years. God vindicated him for all 30 of them. How could God? A man can't keep it together. But through that prophet, he kept everything together. Sure, they hated him. They hated Jesus. Jesus preached 3.5 years and the whole world was against him. Brother Brown preached 30 years. 30 years. And you know what? He'd tell the same story. Now, it might be a little different, but in every bit of it was, he'd tell that same story. He'd stand up there and he'd say, if I've told you the truth tonight, he said, let God come and back it up. Let God. Now, listen, if he was a false prophet, God didn't have to. God didn't have to back him up. He could have said, no, you're not preaching my word. You're a false prophet. And he could have been like Baal and been a flash in the pan and had a little bit of a gift and calling, whatever. But 30 years? Brother Joe, think of 30 years. This man went on the field and preached to 20, 30, 40,000 miracles. Documented, not just word of mouth, documented miracles. And it just kept going until he had to come to preach what? The revelation that he come to preach, and that was the seals. And that's when they hated him. That's when that little whippersnapper kid can't remember his name, doesn't matter, on YouTube says, he wasn't a very good Bible teacher. Why would God use somebody for 30 years and him not be a good Bible teacher? It's because, you know what? What Brother Branham preached, same way with Jesus. Jesus stood there and he said, if you don't believe I am he, you're dying your sins. They're like, what? I was not born to fornication like you was. I know the Torah. I know the Moses quote book. I got Abraham. I got all Abraham's tapes. Well, here we go. I got all Abraham's books. He said, if you'd have believed Abraham, you believe me. He connected it to where they couldn't unconnect it. He had so much influence, though, with the people. When he would say that, that's what made them mad. Because it turned the people against the denomination of the day. Listen, he didn't have a problem with sinners and prostitutes. Right? Always there'd be one Pharisee walk in, and he just tore the whole thing apart. Now, that was the religious people of the day. That was supposedly the ones that had the truth. Supposedly had the truth. And he said, you're of your father the devil. You're a snake. You're a liar. You know what he was doing? He's trying to save their soul. But he knew there was so much in them of hatred, he couldn't save them. He couldn't save them. Sure, he died for everybody. But he knew who he was going to get out of that pawn shop. He knew who would come out. He knew who wouldn't. But he didn't get up there and say, well, bless God, I'm not dying for them Pharisees. No, he said, Lord, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Do we? No, Father, burn their house down. Destroy them. They're against me. Make their car engine blow up. That's kind of the way we are. If they don't believe what I preach, let them be cast out. Well, guess what? Jesus never was that way, so I don't think we should be that way. He died on that cross for everybody, but he knew, being God, he knew who would and who wouldn't. Who wouldn't accept it. So he died for me and you. He died to get us out of that pawn shop. Praise God. And then out of that pawn shop, we still got work to do. Why would you take a chainsaw out of the pawn shop? To use it. Put gas in it. Put oil in it. Then go cut trees down. Go cut the devil down. So he wants to take you out of the pawn shop to use you. Not to take you out and go, oh, that's a pretty. That's a pretty chainsaw. No, he had a purpose when he got you out. Every one of you, purpose when he got you out of that pawn shop. We got to now what? Step into that revelation or that vision that God had of us. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see?
coming for to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low. How many hundred you need? Give me hands. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we both stand together. Lord, I have the same thing, Father. But we're going to deny it today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan, take your hands off of our brother, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that he'll have a good report, Lord, that this thing will go down. Lord, not just by pills, but by you, Father. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Just believe, baby. Coming for to carry me home. I'm coming. Coming to. Coming for to carry me home. Sing it to him. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. If you have a need today, let him swing down. Let him swing down and pick you up. And it's a sweet chariot. Oh, Elijah went home in a chariot of fire, but it didn't burn him up. It was the fire of God.
What did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Sing it to him one more time. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
You're dismissed. Till this afternoon. Pray one for another.
Oh, you get there before I do. Coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to.
There you go. You're welcome.
Carry me home.
Sing it to him. Swing low. Sweet chariot. Coming for
to carry me home. Sweet chariot.
Coming for to carry me home.